Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, I am Case Mosey Animal.
I am the Kane Marco, Raps Juggernaut. What's good?
I'm just Caitlin.
My name is Ayani.
Dr. Phil.
And this is...
Nuff Said!
Late Night Edition.
Word. Yo, shout out to Klaus for always for putting in the new sound effects. Every time we say Nuff Said, it's very interesting.
Yeah, fantastic.
Oh, and we're part of the...
We're part of the universe, just like you.
Yeah, because we're having some technical difficulties with the site, so we're part of the network now. And if you want to hit us up, you can hit us up on Instagram at Nuff Said. That's at KNUFFSAID. You can also hit us up on our brand new Tumblr.
Oh, snizzle.
This is Nuff Said, right? This
yes.
is Nuff Said. This is the Tumblr. Yeah. And you can hit us up on, we're going to say we have a Periscope. No, not yet. Almost soon. Yeah, we're going to work on that.
In the future, apparently we'll have a Periscope.
So. I just want to say that for the dozens of ladies that listen to our podcast Ooh. And wonder what I look like.
Yeah.
There is a picture of me on the Tumblr.
Oh, yo, boy.
You can see like half my face.
Yo, Dr. Phil.
I haven't shaved in a week. It's okay.
Single
hair still looks good.
And yeah, ready to mingle.
The hair is good.
Yo, Dr. Phil's out here putting in work. He's a doctor. Like actual doctor. So you're out here, you're
of
chasing
science and
you're chasing
not like the other doctor.
That's what I'm saying. You're chasing medical doctors.
I thought he was a fake doctor.
Nah, he's a real doctor.
He's a real doctor.
So is Dr. Oz. He's like a neurosurgeon.
His
like he's actually very
I'm giving you a skeptical face.
He actually is. Mm-hmm. All right. Anyway, off topic. But I'm saying, all you ladies out here are chasing medical doctors, doing wrong doctor, literally and figuratively.
When the alien
you need to find yourself a man with a PhD.
When the alien aggressors show up, those medical doctors are going to be worth shit. But this guy, he's going to be worth something.
Word.
Putting that xenobiology.
Yo, Phil's out here figuring out how to make the next Manhattan Project. So just get it right.
I don't know. I hope he's not doing that.
We're gonna make evil mutant flies.
Oh okay. God.
Yeah. Watch out, Jeff Goldblum. I'm coming for you.
Help you do the testing on that.
So, holler at me when you start doing cyborg parts. There's a conversation about AI that you've been threatening to have since the podcast started.
I don't think this is the episode for that,
it
but
is
we are going to do that.
Episode,
we're going to do that. One's
do
coming. Keep listening, or you might miss it.
You should do it. Come with me if you want to live. and now, this week in mother freaking comics, bro.
Word.
As long as they're only mother freaking.
They're mother freaking. They're
what
freaking
about father freaking? Father's
mother
freaks.
Loving, perhaps.
Mother loving. Mother and father loving.
Mother liking.
Mother enjoying.
Good. Mother tolerating.
Mother playing Scrabble with on a Sunday evening.
Wow.
Boom shakalaka.
Got okay. detailed. Okay.
This week in comics, man. What do we got?
Are we even going to mention DC?
Do you want me to do the obligatory DC situation?
Yo.
You don't have to.
Yo, we've had this conversation.
Can you tell us who Batman is? Because I'd like to know.
Ladies and gentlemen. Commissioner Gordon is not Batman. Okay? And the Batman that is, in fact, Batman is not Batman right now. But
why did you give him a platform?
But I will say, Batman Europa is actually pretty good so far. It's a story that clearly takes place in the past when the guy who is, in fact, Batman was still Batman. Batman, through some misfortune, you'll have to read it, gets tagged with this virus that's killing him. He has a certain amount of time to figure it out. And the person who has to help him, oddly enough, is his arch nemesis, the Joker. So he needs
Sounds
the Joker.
Sounds like this has never been done before.
Yeah, well, that particular one, they've never done it with those guys. Maybe Lex Luthor had to work with Superman before, but, I mean, when has that not happened? You know, they've been doing that since the Super Friend cartoons.
Yo, if I'm the creators of the Wonder Twins, aren't I mad that I'm getting no check for this DC Justice League movie?
I don't think. I mean,
maybe. How many times do those creators go without checks?
A lot, but they even showed up in Justice League Unlimited though. But I mean, the Wonder Twins, the idea of their powers is very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it was done in a craptastic way.
Execution.
Once you become an adult, you know, I mean, what good is it to really, you form water and you form a bucket, like in the real world, how's that going to work out?
No, she could turn into whatever. He turned into water-based things, but it was a lot of water. He never turned into a typhoon.
The only thing that was fly about them was Glee.
The monkey.
He was the homie. Oh.
The monkey.
Yeah.
I was confused. Same.
Yeah. What about
like the show? Yeah.
What about Wendy? What about what was the Wendy and the other dude with the cape?
They were in fact rejects from an episode of Scooby-Doo.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's how they ended up on there.
Live life.
There was no reason for them to be hanging out with superheroes, having adventures with a magic buggy. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Over in DC, Commissioner Gordon is in fact not Batman. I won't accept it. The whole Robin War thing started. I don't know if anybody cares about that.
How's that going?
it's particularly intriguing that someone has decided that Robin's not cool. All the people who were just kind of wearing Robin R's and doing cool stuff in the city are being brutalized by the police and arrested aggressively.
Oh.
It's rather interesting. The city government, someone in the city government who's probably a supervillain has decided that, you know, we don't want any more Robins because they're causing problems. And the kids are being round up and brutalized and arrested by the
police. This has Penguin written all over it. No? Not Penguin?
Well, it wasn't Penguin.
Clayface?
No.
Hush?
It's some lady bureaucrat who's apparently evil.
And Killer Moth, obviously.
Yeah, and is out for self. So all of the former Robins, you know, the real Robins, show up. But who's really behind it is our good friends, the Owls.
Oh.
Yeah, they're back, and apparently they want some bad things to happen. Since
do you think they know how many licks it takes to get the center of a Tootsie Pop?
Three. Three.
I thought Little Kim had it figured out.
Oh.
Boom and Chocolate. Oh.
So have you seen Little Kim's face lately?
That's
hey.
The
hey.
Doppelganger of Little Kim?
Hey.
Are we going to leave her alone?
Yeah, let's leave Kimmy alone. So she did that to herself, though. So over in Marvel Land. Oh, she did, in fact, do that to herself, and I'm sad. I'm still sad about it.
Yeah.
She didn't have to do any of that.
Like, yeah. Yo, she came out of jail,
we're not the same person.
Remy came out of jail, same chick.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
No plastic surgery.
Okay.
Yeah. She does have the same boyfriend, though.
Papoose?
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about Papoose.
That's what I thought.
Don't get me started on Papoose. So,
my dad thinks he has the dumbest name ever, but moving on.
This week in Marvel.
Holding her career hostage right now.
You know, this week in Marvel Comics. So, all new Avengers, all new, all different Avengers.
They all new and all different.
Yeah, and, you know, I guess. I'm still not overly convinced, but I'm reading it. All new Inhumans. I'm just not feeling this Inhumans situation, bro.
Yo, I don't like it either, but, I mean, we're not getting X-Men stuff that we can tolerate. So,
but it's like, okay, so we have the Inhumans, but to make them interesting, let's just toss in some characters.
That cover hard,
like.
Though. I got that Marvel hip-hop cover, and it's based off of the off of Future's DSD2. And I know DS. Yeah, Dirty Sprite 2. And I know you're not the biggest fan of Future.
I'm not a fan of Future.
The cover looks so dope.
But the Inhumans cover was, in fact, fire. In fact, that should actually be the cover of Future's actual album. And then it should just be instrumentals without him on it. That would be amazing. In fact, it could just be Stan Lee talking about the formation of Marvel as a company for an entire album.
But over
some fire-ass beats.
Oh, yo, over Future's beats?
That'd
be
kind
of dope.
Yeah, as long as Future's it says executive produced by God and Future's not there. That would be amazing.
Sheesh.
So anyway, all new X-Men.
Damn.
Jump in.
All new X-Men is actually pretty interesting so far.
Okay. Is that young? That's baby Cyclops running that, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm interested to see that. I haven't read it.
The fact that, you know, regular adult Scott is apparently dead. I mean, I don't know.
They haven't explained that, right?
They haven't explained it. They
said that he went up against the Inhumans and got killed.
Something happened with the Inhumans and got killed. He got killed.
Also, why is Medusa dating the Human Torch? That makes no sense.
When Johnny used to date her sister.
Yes.
What's the move?
Did that not happen? I just got to see. Isn't it like a downgrade? You literally, you used to go out with a nigh immortal, omnipowerful person as far as Black Bolt, and now you're dating the Human Torch? It's like, yo, hey, there's a rainstorm. He's in trouble.
Apparently Johnny's that dude, bro.
I guess. I guess. You know, I don't believe
if it's
it.
Michael B. Jordan, then, you know.
If it's Michael B. Jordan torch, you're down with it?
Well, it actually isn't Michael B. Jordan torch. It's regular old Caucasian torch.
I mean, you know, I still make it work.
Yeah? You make it work? Mm. Okay. So Johnny's
I'm sure
that,
torch gets the women hot and bothered.
On to Daredevil. Number one.
I haven't read it.
Yeah, it's Daredevil. He's got a new outfit. He's got a sidekick now. Who might be slightly nefarious, but I'll let you read it.
Nah, he's not. I mean, from what I read, he's not nefarious, but he made his own suit. He's trying to do good. You know what
read? Yeah, you read the lead up to Daredevil.
Oh, true, true.
You need to read Daredevil 1 to find out.
But yo.
Apparently Foggy's not feeling it.
But yo. Does Foggy finally know he's Daredevil? Yeah. Foggy been new, right?
I mean, Foggy knew before the whole situation, before the exciting event that we're not quite done
Secret,
with yet.
Secret Wars?
Yeah.
Yo.
Also, Secret Wars has been delayed. The final issue has been delayed again.
That sucks.
Yeah, I'm pretty tired about that.
Yo, so like, I did read Howard the Duck.
I didn't read
Howard. And I very much enjoyed it.
I know.
So it's about like their doppelgangers. They cloned female versions of him and Rocket so they could make them two mate. And then make little Rockets and Howards. Yes.
That's weird.
Yeah.
This makes me uncomfortable.
But so what happens is they break out, right? They break out.
The doppelgangers break out?
No.
Howard
and Rocket break out. And the doppelgangers are just chilling there. And they're like, yo, what are we going to do with these doppelgangers? And so they give them to one of the workers for the collector. And he's just chilling. He's raising them like they're their own, like they're his own kids. And then one day the order comes down like, yo. We're getting rid of them. And so he's like, yo, these are my babies. So he goes in there and they're about to like put him to sleep for forever. He's like, this is not gonna happen. And he rops in there and he snatches them and they go and escape. And they go and escape through the galaxy and they go in time. So they get a time machine and they go 25 years in the past. So like he's raising them as smugglers and they're doing smuggly things, and then the dude that raises them ends up getting killed by.
Oh no!
So like, what
I
want to
read this now.
They catch up to the time, right?
So now they're adults.
Now, because he was part of the collectors, like he was snatching people up. Somebody's like, "Yo, you took my mother! How dare you?" And he shot him.
Oh,
right.
Shot the collector?
No, he shot the guy that was raising.
Oh, because he was working with the collector, but he was doing the fairy stuff till he got a conscience.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And so, like, they got killed. And so now they're like, yo, we have to figure out a way to dodge the collector because now we caught up with time. So now they are going to be looking for us, you know? So
now there's an adult.
So there are two adult-aged Rocket and Howard the Duck clones.
That are females.
That are ladies.
They're ladies. So it's like a big episode of Adventure Time with Fiona and Cake.
Yeah, that's kind. It sounds really Adventure
Time-y. I need to read this.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
All right. But yeah, so it's pretty dope.
I guess I'll read that. I wasn't really interested, but since you just acted it out so well,
he made it so exciting. Yeah. My eyes lit up.
Yeah. Invincible Iron Man, still dope. Still Tony, and
I read Red Wolf. Red Wolf was pretty dope. They took it the direction I wanted. I wanted to know what was going to happen with Wild West Marvel heroes, and I was so excited. And then they brought him to the future. And I'm like, yo, this does not excite me. They're basically making Two-Gun Kid again, and so he's going to be running around in today's time.
He's kind of cooler than Two-Gun.
I hope he goes back in time, and I hope he gets a superpower, damn it. Just want one superpower. That's it.
He's badass, though.
He is, but give him a superpower. So, like, this is my problem with the Falcon. Just like give him one superpower, and he finally did. He has a psychic connection with birds. Cool.
I mean, he always had that.
No, first he didn't. Then he had a psychic. Oh, you know, you're right. He had a psychic connection with one bird.
Yeah.
Now he has a psychic connection with birds. Period.
Birds.
Which is way more useful.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah.
Or maybe he just learned how to develop his power and got more developed.
I mean, either way, he's way more useful now.
Spidey number one. Did you read it?
No. Oh, did you see? There's a hip hop cover for it, just based off the Carter.
Yeah, I saw that.
I saw it, and I was like, I don't like Wayne enough to buy it.
Spidey number one takes place back in the day when Peter was still in high school. So it's actually like Origin Spider-Man, but set in the present, which I find to be interesting. So kids have cell phones and all that stuff.
This is not in 616, I'm assuming.
It seems like it's in 616, but it's in the past.
It's Marvel. It's not DC. So they're not going to, like, 616. They're not going to be like, yo, we have two Spider-Men that are the same human being wearing around the same universe.
No, I'm saying people have had cell phones and stuff for a while now.
That is true.
Okay,
yes.
So it's when Peter was in high school. So I guess what we're saying is 616 Peter is how old? Because, I mean, in comic book years, how old is he?
6 months, the now one? Like 30-something?
Yeah, Pete, yeah.
He's 30-ish. 30-something. Yeah. Okay. That's amazing.
Star Wars.
Yeah. Oh, yo. Star Wars, though? Star Wars is
still
everything.
Good.
Star Wars is everything. So when we left, when we left our hero, Luke, he was stunned by Murder C-3PO.
By Murder C-3PO.
Yeah. He was stunned by Murder C-3PO. Murder C-3PO was about to, like...
Was about to end his life.
Yes.
You know?
But then they see Han Solo on the horizon, and the doctor is like, oh, are you Han Solo? He's like, you heard of me? She was like, hell no, but I'm blah, blah, blah. She says her name, and
he heard of her, apparently.
And he's like, so, yo, you might hit me, but if you don't, you are going to die. So a weird standoff happens.
Where they're conversing about stuff.
And Chewbacca gets Murder C-3PO, rips his arm off.
The big homie Chewie does what he does best and rips off Murder C-3PO's arms.
And then Killer R2-D2 is chasing regular R2-D2.
Yeah.
And then, like, was about to, like...
That sounds adorable.
Yeah. But he was about to destroy all life, but then he runs out of rockets, and then regular R2-D2...
And then R2-D2 shoots him with oil.
In shock, and he's like, oh, I'm
dead. I thought he shot him with oil and set him on fire.
Yeah, something like that.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a bit more visceral.
That is true. But it was just
R2's
like...
that guy.
It was like, there's no way R2 should have won this, but he did.
Meanwhile, Murder C-3PO is still talking trash, even without arms, because he wants to kill everything.
Yeah.
And so, his mistress got knocked out, I believe. Han got Chewie,
this whole,
and Luke, and dipped out.
This whole Vader down storyline is pretty freaking amazing on so many different levels, and I really can't wait to see how this ends, and I need to see Vader be more badass and kill more rebels by scores. It's amazing.
Because Vader's dope.
Word. And I mean, I have something to talk about from Image. Because
Rock out.
Shit. Yo, Image dropped East of West number 22. Which was super dope. It's one scene, and it's just an assassination attempt, and it's someone trying to kill the leader of like the House of Mao, which is like the Asian faction of East of West, and it's just like they fell, but the entire thing, they have an hour to kill this one to kill the leader, and they just take you through this countdown, and it's just like fighting, and they miss, obviously. They don't succeed, and how they don't succeed is drawn quite beautifully. And, like, one dude of this, like, squad of seven that came to kill this chick gets back, and their handler shoots that person in the head and then shoots themselves.
Oh.
And then the person, you find out who sent them, and he's like, that's bad. So, East of West, freaking amazing, and a very self-contained issue. If you've never read East of West, you can just read this, and it's a marvelous story in and of itself.
This is like the K. Marco story hour right now.
All right, I know. I've been talking way too much.
Now I'm enraptured.
Yeah.
I had one this week that I read.
Oh!
That was actually old. It was the collected edition of Mark Millar's Chrononauts. Yeah, so basically the story is that scientists have been secretly trying to develop time travel. And these two guys who pretty much seem like the two main characters from Miami Vice for all intents and purposes, except one's dark hair. No, you know what? They're actually the two characters from Double Dragon. That's who they could be.
What?
One's dark haired and one's blonde haired. They could just be Billy and Jimmy Lee. That's what they are. One's kind of wild and zany. The other one's kind of responsible. Huh?
The Lee brothers, Ugg and Home.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, these guys are kind of like prodigies, and they actually succeed in helping to create this Chrononaut program. What they were supposed to use it for is to go back in time and fix things that were wrong. Instead,
that goes well.
Instead, because it's a Mark Millar comic book, on the first attempt with them using it, they go back to
an orgy held by Dionysus,
the time of Genghis Khan, and kill Genghis Khan and take all of his stuff. And then they realize, hey, man,
he's responsible.
You know what? This is super awesome. We could just go to any time we want, bring whatever we want here, because they had these kind of like mech suits on. Mm-hmm. So They can bring money there. They can just, you know what? I'm fighting these feudal dudes and I need some machine guns. So I'm just going to go to this time period to get machine guns. So what happens is the first guy gets trapped in the past because his suit malfunctions and his boy has to go help him. By the time he gets there, this dude has like kingdoms and all these different time periods. He has like a house in like Al Capone era Chicago and he's like the boss there. He has like, he's taken over the Genghis Khan period and he's like the ruler there. He has like some stuff in ancient Rome chilling, and in ancient Rome he's got like tanks and planes and machine guns. So finally what happens is he convinces his boy to hang out with him and go, yo man, this is cool, we don't ever have to go back, we could just kick it. So they're kicking it. The dude that's supposed to be like his main servant figures out what's happening, you know, eventually knocks dude out, takes his device, then takes over. So he's gonna get killed. His boy has to like go through time to save him. So they use all the tricks that they learned doing all this wrong stuff to like kind of fix the time stream. And so then at the end, this cool thing happens. So it actually was a pretty good read.
That sounds interesting. Yeah. I got a lot of things
can
to
we
read
have
now.
A Mongols comic? I want a comic about the Mongols.
That'd be pretty cool.
That has to exist.
I'd read that.
Yeah, it probably
I'm sure,
does.
I'm sure they've done it before.
I'm going to look that up on Wikipedia later.
Genghis and Kubla. Yeah.
Well, I know that the Netflix series is pretty dope.
I've heard that.
Wait, what?
What?
There's a Netflix series?
Marco Polo?
Yeah, you heard it was pretty dope. Yes.
You watch it?
It's not pretty dope.
You didn't like it?
Ooh. No.
I enjoy it.
But, close, but it's the opposite.
But I think that we have another segment to segue into now, and I think that that probably has to do with somebody's, you know, corner or something.
Oh, so you would say we're about to kicking it with Caitlin. Hey, kicking it with Caitlin. Hey, kicking it with Caitlin. Hey, kicking it with Caitlin. Whoa.
Yay.
Hey, it's me. I'm Caitlin. Welcome to my corner where we kick
where
it.
We kick it.
So I thought this week I'd talk about. Well, first of all, I want to see if anyone here has read Mouse.
I read graphic novel. I've actually shockingly read that comic.
It's a good one.
Wow, yeah.
Mouse,
get it.
Mouse is pretty dope, man.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
I read it.
I don't know. Felt fitting to bring up considering holidays and all that.
Mouse, for some reason, The Secret of Nim comes up every year around this time of year.
I love The Secret of Nim. Miss Frisbee.
Yeah, Miss Frisbee's awesome.
Anyway, well, that's obviously Mouse is great and speaks to a lot of historically important things, blah, blah, blah. Not blah, blah, blah. I mean, maybe it feels fitting because of the whole Trump stuff going
probably.
On. That's probably why I feel the need to bring it up now, why it's been in my head.
Yo, that's crazy. I saw a meme that was like, Donald Trump is YouTube comments made into a real person running for president.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a meme that had a dumpster and it said Donald Trump's ballot box.
It's terrifying, but he's going to run as an independent. Hopefully he just splits the Republican vote. Because, like, people are going to vote for him in droves. Droves.
Yes. Yeah, surprising amount of support he has. Scary. I thought it would be less. I didn't think he would be leading the Republican Party. I thought that'd be Jeb Bush early on. And then look how poorly he's done.
Ted Cruz. Just
horrifying. We'd actually rather have Jeb Bush than this guy.
Yeah.
That's saying a lot.
Mm-hmm. So, otherwise, let's see. I thought I'd talk about Gina Weinbrand's work today.
Okay.
She is a Chicago comic artist and zine maker. She has a couple published pieces ranging from. She's got. They're largely about sexuality and they're very open and funny and sad and honest. There's one called "Someone Please Have Sex." Someone Please Have Sex with Me, which made it into the Best American Comics 2015 anthology, so that's great for her.
Interesting.
She has another one called Tiger Beat Exclusive and one called One Less Lonely Girl about her appreciation for Justin Bieber. And,
oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
In that same, like, look at me, I'm pathetic, but also I'm not, you know, poking fun at herself, but also being very honest and human and, like, a sexual being. Big Pussy is another one. Did I already say that one?
No, you didn't.
Oh yeah, that's a new one. It's good. But
what is that one about? It's about a never-ending vagina.
So you don't want to hear about the Justin
Bieber. It's more self-reflections and things like that.
What? But, isn't it most about infections?
Self-reflections.
Self-reflection, bro. Yeah. Wow. You good today? You good?
I'm okay.
Okay.
I'm okay.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
good comic book ideas from Kyle.
Which has got very very clean lines, pretty, you know, fairly realistic looking artwork. She draws it herself as well.
Nice.
Yeah, weird and funny and like sexual and honest. I mean, Someone Please Have Sex With Me goes from her discovery of like internet flirting pornography and things like that, all the way to like early attempts at masturbation, you know, trying to get people to trying to have sex and be a sexual being, and it just like not working out, that sort of thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're very good. So yeah, just check it out. Just I would recommend. And you read a panel, right? And what did you think of that?
I did. It was funny in that self-deprecating kind of way that, I don't know, I personally appreciate, because in a way we can all get down on ourselves in somewhat humorous ways, mm-hmm. I think. Or it might just be me. I don't know. Yeah. But I kind of appreciated how real it was while not taking itself too seriously. Yeah.
Like, you know? It's surprising because, like, it's very easy to read, but it must, like, I couldn't imagine actually creating that myself. It's brave to actually do. So yeah. It's weird for that to seem so effortless. That's mm-hmm. impressive. Mm-hmm. So I give a lot of credit to that. And it's also... it's very self-deprecating, but super confident. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So there's a power in that. I think
it's kind of like Tig Notaro in a way. If you've ever seen any of her comedy, the one after her mom passed away and she had breast cancer, think it would not be hilarious, but I laughed the entire time. And it's very, I don't know, it's sad, self-deprecating, and hilarious all at once. I think she's a fabulous comedian. It kind of invokes that same feeling for me. Tig Notaro.
It's actually, it's a great special, and you can download it. Louis C.K. has it available from his label. Mm-hmm. The set was fantastic, and it was like, she did this like a week after she got diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, wow. Kind of sounds like Margaret Cho, like her style of comedy.
Well, this was pretty brutal. She thought she was mm-hmm. dying, and her mom had just died.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's
she
crazy.
Just recovered from another illness, so she was already skin and bones. Mm-hmm. And she had her long-term girlfriend had just broken up with her within that same period of months.
So she was going through some shit.
Yeah.
But it's one of the best stand-ups that I've ever seen, you know, which sounds kind of weird to say, but I absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Props. It was great. Yeah. Another honest set, I guess. Okay. So those are the things I wanted to talk about. I also brought, volume one, The Hunt mm-hmm. of Animal Man.
Mother freaking Animal Man.
Yeah. The Lemire and Foreman Animal Man. We don't need to talk about it. I love the art style. It's mm-hmm. dark and great and goopy.
Andrew's been trying to get me to read that.
Yeah. And you're going to borrow it. So next week, you can share your thoughts.
He bought it from my dad. Yeah.
See, Andrew, I'm going to read your suggestion as you're still not on the podcast.
Damn. Animal Man is dope.
Yeah. All right. And that's my corner.
Boom, shakalaka. And shakalaka.
I have a small side note from that section.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
No sponsor for the side note yet.
Still no sponsor for the side note.
Polar.
But
maybe Future can sponsor.
Question. Yo, if Future sponsored my side note, we'd be overflowing in lean.
Yeah.
If you had to make a movie voice. Called Never Ending Pussy, who would you have directed? Because I feel like Guillermo del Toro... could Never make that look pussy? Very yes. interesting.
I kind of like to see a female director behind that one.
Can I just direct it myself?
I mean, you can.
Sasha Gray.
My directorial debut.
What would be
a female director?
I was trying to avoid that. Good job.
But it's like, what's the name of... There's that like really vulgar movie that came out with that like young woman who has all this like dirty sex.
Nymphomaniac?
No. I mean, not it's by a female director. It's not Von Trier.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, that's I think also
what movie is that?
But this that's what is it? Because this is just about the girl. That's why like the pussy comment made me think. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, it was from the past year, I'd say.
What's the premise of this movie?
I know because
in my head
about.
It's like a never ending vagina. Like
never ending vagina.
I think it's the porn version of that.
I know. Why did I just think that?
What?
We're nerds. I went straight to Never Ending Story, except I said vagina in my head, and then you said it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, there's like a big furry dragon or whatever. But yeah.
That's traveling in the vagina?
It's a porn.
Yeah.
But with a good script.
Yeah, totally.
Mm. But with an actual
script.
Why not?
Mm. Yo, so I have a paradox also. If you're a lesbian, but you are vegan, can you...
Oh, stop right now.
I've thought about this so
much. Is it kosher? Like, what?
It is kosher, isn't it? It's not an animal. It's not like, a filthy animal.
You deserve an optic blast for that.
Oh, my.
Unless it's one of the birds of prey, am I right?
I guess because they're fowls, is that what?
Yeah, because it's, exactly. Because it's
took me a second, I'm sorry.
It was a bad joke anyway.
If they're blessed by the rabbi, then you're good.
Well, still, not if they eat other...
It has to have been humanely slaughtered.
Yeah. It needs to be like a duck.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
end scene. Solid film.
That's going to be our nice segue right into, Dr. Phil's world.
Okay. No disrespect intended by any of that.
We're going to segue right out of that one. Thanks a lot, bro.
Dr. Phil's world has a soundtrack today. Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah.
That's the intro music to Wizards and Warriors.
That's right. And it's friggin' awesome, bro.
As covered by The Advantage.
Nice.
Oh yeah. Today we're
I'm not
talking about video game music.
Yes.
You might need to send that file to us, by the way, to add.
The soundtrack is not audible. It's okay. No
He's
big
like,
deal.
Just believe, you'll hear it.
Yo, we got it.
Just go listen to it. It's from their self-titled album. Like their actual self-titled album, not their second album, which is called Elf-titled. But so don't get confused there. Okay. So, who wants to tell me their top five video game soundtracks? Ayani.
Okay. I have to pick five. All right.
No,
this isn't
an arbitrary number.
But definitely the Sonic the Hedgehog, Sonic 1, 2, 3. Like, I love Marble Zone. I love. Casino Night Zone.
Yeah,
if I hear in life, I'd freak out and like crash a car. Now that affected me viscerally as a person. The Little Big Planet soundtrack for Little Big Planet 1, I listen to that on the regular.
That was pretty dope.
The Kantamari Damashii soundtrack, I also listen to that on the regular and know a lot of the words. I love that soundtrack. Listen to it washing dishes. I'm like, I'm gonna roll you up into my life. It's great. gosh, those are my favorites. I listen to Final Fantasy VIII's orchestral soundtrack a lot. I think that's very good. I have an orchestral and piano version of that. So let's just count that as two. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Those are my five.
Anyone else?
I was going to bring up Hotline Miami.
I don't think I've heard that one.
Let's see if I can play a quick ditty.
Yeah, let's get a clip of that.
Diddly-doo.
Diddy just dropped a mixtape not too long ago, MMM, called Money Making Mitch.
Oh, is Chris actually wanted us to plug some. Yeah, Zala.
What are you plugging?
Never mind then.
Yeah, I was like, what happened?
You can bring it up. I don't know.
Well, but I don't want to derail.
I think we've been pretty thoroughly derailed already, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not that big of a gamer.
But she's playing something.
This is a pretty fun game in which you kill people, but also you have like a storyline. Oh, your girlfriend gets killed, and
of course she does.
Yeah, as you, I know. It's the way of things. Mm. All media.
Some woman has to die for your art.
I'm gonna sip my tea and be quiet.
But this is a game that's ripping on all that stuff. So it's following the formula of all its predecessors, which is unfortunate in some ways, but also I get why it happens in this game. But it's got a very chill soundtrack.
To kill people too, apparently.
Well, depending, it gets up and up for other moments, you know.
Nice.
Anyway, I'd recommend checking it out.
My favorites are all 8-bit Nintendo games.
Yeah. Fantastic.
Wizards and Warriors. Ninja Gaiden has a great soundtrack.
Listen, if you had those, I'd need those. I need you to send them those.
Yeah, we'll get those over to you. I'm not going to tell you how I got them in the first place.
It's irrelevant.
It's irrelevant.
It wasn't, you know, I was not on a ship with an eye patch. I can tell you that.
You
much.
Were not.
No.
No.
There were no cutlasses.
No.
Sailor's life is not for you.
Not at all. Castlevania.
Oh, which one though?
Three. I don't know. They blur for me. It's been too long since I played.
Yeah.
Any Legend of Zelda game.
Facts.
The original one especially.
Quality.
And of course, you know, probably the most iconic video game soundtrack, Super Mario Brothers 1 through 3.
Facts.
Those last two, on a side note, those last two were composed by Koji Kondo. He was, I guess, like the composer of a lot of the sort of most famous original Nintendo game soundtracks. And in an interview that he gave to Nintendo Power magazine, he said that his three biggest musical influences were Deep Purple, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and Sergei Rachmaninoff,
That's
which
funny.
Is a fantastic list, and I think speaks to why the music was so good. Mm. I mean, a lot of the composers of the original Nintendo games were amazingly talented.
I agree.
And Nintendo that music is just fantastic. Yeah.
I remember when, who was it who died somewhat recently?
I have no idea.
The guy that made,
a Nintendo composer, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I know it. I just can't remember his name right now. I'm ashamed. But yeah, he did
I'm
that
I'm ashamed,
recently.
Too. It was sad.
Yeah.
While I look that up, Corey, tell us your favorite video game soundtrack.
Top of the list, Mega Man 2.
Day
long.
Good one.
Actually, Street Fighter 2 Championship Edition, clearly. The entire game.
Mm-hmm.
You know it? Backwards and forwards, without question. The orchestral arrangement for Final Fantasy VII, also the original Resident Evil, also pretty awesome, and Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
I mean, it has the word symphony in it
for PlayStation 1. The music for that entire game was freaking amazing, and it fit the game, and it helped you. It helped push some of the game stuff along in certain parts where it was getting kind of slow. The music, sometimes I'd leave a stage and come back like, you know what? I'm really tight right now. I need to go back to this room where they're playing this music so I can feel okay about being destroyed by this game right now. Super Mario Brothers, the first three games, absolutely. Mike Tyson Punch-Out.
Ooh.
There's too many. There's
just
too many.
Strong. It's a strong field across the board.
I don't even play that many video games, so I'm going to cop out. And I'm going to say the GTA soundtracks.
which ones, though?
All of them.
That
bro.
Is indeed a cop out.
It's like
but
you
that is a
very
cop
much
out.
It's not too much. I mean, I just mentioned a recent game that I played.
But
you mean the newer Grand Theft Auto, not the first two?
Yeah, it was like whenever they started having people curate the radio stations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. Because you could just when a game came out, people were like, "Yo, I gotta play this." I'm like, "Nah, I just need to download the soundtracks because it's like." History lessons in hip hop and reggae. And
Vice City was my favorite.
And rock that I didn't listen to, so I like rock with it, you know?
I mean, that was a cool way to do things in the game. I think we could all agree, yeah.
Yeah. And, I'm not going to front. I think I remember Knights having a really dope soundtrack, like on Sega Saturn.
Mm-hmm. I didn't play that.
Mm-hmm. King,
I didn't play it, but
like
I know
Knights.
What
and then
oh, you mean that? Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the purple dude that floated around.
Yeah, that did have a cool soundtrack.
And wait, how has no one mentioned Streets of Rage 2? Like, I'm not the gamer here. Streets of Rage 2 is the best.
Streets of Rage 2, Streets of Rage and Streets of Rage 2 definitely had a really good soundtrack. Actually, the guy who did the soundtrack for the original Double Dragon did the soundtrack for those games.
Huh.
Oddly enough.
Good fact.
And yes, the soundtrack to the original Double Dragon, the arcade music, not the port on Nintendo, which was trash, was amazing.
Okay.
So, all right. Yeah, I have one last one to take us out of the segment. Hold on. Give us yours, Ayana. Give us yours.
I've totally forgot this one, and this might be a cop-out, but... I was a big DDR player, so
so many
they made a lot of the music for the games themselves, so yeah. It's not so much of a cop out. But I have a DDR playlist on my iPod. Yeah, memories of the days we left behind.
Being in that apartment,
yep,
pissing your neighbors off.
Yep, we turned DDR. The jumps off at night. It was fine.
Yo, how real? All right, so like I had just watched Devil Wears Prada, which is secretly one of my favorite movies ever.
Really?
So, like, it's not a secret anymore.
It's no longer a secret.
Dozens of fans. No,
it's,
no.
Yo, it's because I interned
whole
at Bad.
Twos and threes of people.
Yo, we have more fans than that. Because, man, I was interning at Bad Boy at the time, and I watched Devil Wears Prada. I was like, I feel you. And like suddenly I see it in there, and then it was in DDR. It made my world so happy.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And your last edition, Phil? All
right. Now so this is a plug for a game soundtrack and this game as a whole, which a lot of people didn't play at the time that it came out, though it has since become like a classic. Grim Fandango.
Boom!
Yeah. We talked about that before, haven't we?
Have we? I don't know. I think we can talk about it again.
Surely. Let's put that theory to the test.
I'd say it's in a conversation with one or two other games for my favorite game of all time.
Hmm.
And it's this is a late 90s LucasArts adventure game.
Yep.
You know, so if you played like Day of the Tentacle or Monkey Island, you might be familiar with this the LucasArts adventure game genre. All of those games were great. Grim Fandango was like
Day
the pinnacle.
Of the Tentacle?
Yeah. Not a
Luke, don't tell us what you think that game is about, Kyle.
Yeah, chill out.
We know. It's not that.
It's not what you think.
It's not that kind of game.
It just sounds like an
you're thinking of Leisure Suit Larry. I think.
No, dude.
Oh, I can't believe that's an actual game. Is this like you're an octopus and you do things?
No, okay. No. It's about aliens.
That's Octodad,
blah, blah, blah.
Deadliest Catch. Great game.
I know that game.
That exists?
It exists.
Yes, it exists, bro.
So Grim Fandango takes place in like the sort of Aztec like land of the dead, except everything is like has this Art Deco feel to it. And the soundtrack is sort of mostly it's kind of like a jazz, like roaring 20s,
yep,
big band type soundtrack. It's amazing. As is every other aspect of the art direction of that game, just like the best looking game ever made, bar none. Particularly considering that it came out in like 1998 and has no graphics. It's a beautiful game, and it has a cool storyline. If there's any downside to the game, it's that it's like really fucking hard.
It was hard.
It's a puzzle game, and some of the puzzles are just difficult.
I know it looked and sounded better than friggin' Star Wars Masters of the Tersakasi, which was hot trash. So bad. Thanks for making a terrible game. LucasArts made shitty Star Wars games in the 90s.
So you can get this game now for any platform on Steam or on Good Old Games. Mm-hmm. You should go play it, and if you get stuck on a puzzle, just cheat. Finish the game. Do what you have to do.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Because it's worth getting through
it. It actually was a fun game.
Anyway, that's it. That's all I got on video game soundtracks.
Well, Ayani has one other piece.
More. Give us more.
I personally love video game soundtracks, if you couldn't tell.
It was Ayani's idea to talk about this, by the way, just to be clear.
I stole it,
and I apologize for nothing.
It's okay. I forgive you this time. But I just wanted to point out, for people who are interested in video game soundtrack remixes, I was telling these guys before, there's a website that's called OC Remix, which stands for Overclocked Remixes, where all of these people go and they just remix all of your favorite video game soundtracks. Like, I've listened to, I think they have some Sonic 2, Sonic 3 remixes, which are great. There's some Final Fantasy 8 remixes, which are great. And it's just too much on that website to actually explore it in one evening. But if you're a music person, it's definitely worth checking out.
OC Remixes.
Check it out.
Boom.
Give us a check.
And now,
remixes.com.
We're going to jump right into TV and film.
TV and film.
Yay.
Yeah, when we talk about film, we got to talk about this trailer.
That we all definitely watched.
I know I watched
it. Wait. We didn't watch the trailer? Is this what's happening?
Did we watch about the trailer or did we talk about like top lists again for a half hour?
We did. Can we pause, watch the trailer, and then unpause?
I think we can control time for this podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
Let's pause.
We're not stopping anything, listeners. So, apparently
this is going to be flawless.
Apparently it's just going to flow flawlessly.
Amazingly. Bye. And I wish I was a little bit taller. Wish I was a baller.
I wish I had a rabbit.
And a hat.
With a bat.
And a 6'4" Impala.
No time has passed, but we have all seen the trailer.
Yes.
Because we had the time, Jim.
Magic.
And we're all loaded.
Somehow we all got alcohol.
With the safety off.
What?
We had the time, Jim.
Word. This won't be as entertaining as the drunk football episode. That was
probably
magnificent.
I didn't even listen
or
to
the Kobe rant.
The drunk football episode is kind of ridiculous.
Phil was the only one drinking.
Dr. Phil, but I drank enough for the whole
He did, in fact. We had an awesome conversation.
Yeah, I had four Heinekens.
Yo, you missed it. There was an anatomy lesson.
Did I miss the best episode?
No, it wasn't the best episode. There was a weird anatomy lesson about
robot penises.
Yeah, let's just shoot past this. So,
Batman versus Superman trailer.
Trailer. Comment.
So, first off, that trailer was too long. They should have cut it before they showed Doomsday. I don't want Doomsday to be in this movie.
Floomsday?
Wonder Woman is in this movie, which is cool.
For like 5 seconds?
I feel like they gave us the whole plot. I feel like they should have just been Superman and Batman fighting, and then we find out at the theater that all this other stuff is in it.
Yeah.
And I'm so terrified. I thought this movie was going to be dope. I thought it was going to be great. Now I feel like the first two acts are going to be dope, and the last act is going to be hot garbage on a flaming stick inside of a dog's asshole.
Who's the director again? Shall we touch on that?
Oh, boy.
Do you want to talk about that?
Go, Caitlin, go.
We have feelings about directors.
Boy. I have feelings about them, too, but apparently that was a little stank on that one. You had some stank on
that. I mean, I'm pretty sure I've talked about it before. I'll leave it up to our rabid fan base to dig through our old sound files.
Oh, boy. So apparently Caitlin has some stank about the director of this film. I just think about the studio that's producing it, and I always will. So the trailer to me showed too much of the wrong things.
Oh, you mean like almost the whole plot?
Yeah. I mean, please don't show us the entire movie. You know, also there's gotta be some other stuff in there. If you're gearing up for this movie to be the introduction of the big three, which leads into a Justice League film, I need to see more of Wonder Woman's involvement in the film.
Exactly. She said like the last 5 seconds of the trailer. Oh yeah. Wonder Woman's in this. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's right. The person we left out of the title is also in this film.
Cause it's a lead in. Well, I mean, apparently there's from.
Well, it's a lead in, but we've already had plenty of Batman and Superman films. They have been led in repeatedly.
And also,
they've walked through that door multiple. It's like a revolving door for them.
I agree with you. And not only that, but we've already seen like what, two trailers of Batman and Superman fighting, shit exploding. That's cool. There's supposed to be a rumor that there's supposed to be an Aquaman cameo in it. There's supposed to be there's a rumor that there's a lead into a Flash cameo in it.
Oh yeah, there's a Cyborg, right? But he's not Cyborg.
He's still Vic Stone. So clearly you're leading up to a Justice League film. We know you want that so badly. Like, so prove to us why we should be excited about the lead into a Justice League movie. Don't give away the whole story. You know, you've already ripped off the entirety of Batman the Dark Knight. So, the Dark Knight Returns, rather. Clearly, the entire fight, there's an entire fight sequence that's ripped directly from Dark Knight Returns. Okay? You put Doomsday in there. You shouldn't have done that. You should have held on to the Doomsday thing. I didn't want to know that clearly Zod is going to be turned into Doomsday. I mean, clearly. I don't have to wonder about that now. Apparently, Wonder Woman saves him from being annihilated at some point.
But does she have any lines? Will we ever know?
I guess we'll find out.
It's the old lamb test. Can she be replaced with a lamp? A very badass lamp.
I love lamp.
Especially if it's the lamp from A Christmas Story.
Yes, that lamp. Because it's Christmas time. It's Christmas time. It's Christmas Eve time.
The Fragile lamp.
Yo, can I
from Italy.
Can I?
It must be Italian, yeah.
Must be. Oh, wow. Can I have one more? Can I have one? I have one more thing that bothers me about this trailer. The last scene where they're about to gear up, and go fight Doomsday. Why is Batman holding a gun? Batman is there with an assault rifle.
I totally noticed that too. Yeah.
Now.
It's just for pretend.
Now, on the flip side, we don't know what type of gun it is. You know, our good friend Batman is an inventor of many fantastic gadgets. It could, in fact, be some type of gun that's a gadgety gun, not an actual firearm.
It could well be that. But it's sort of funny that of all times to be handling a gun, Batman's like, right now, America's ready for it. Yeah. Right now is the time.
Oh, wow. Interesting, right?
Whoa. That got so real.
So sorry. Too much? I will reel it
but
back.
Not even that, though.
I'm going to piggyback that and throw all my darts at the studio for that.
Oh, but it's not even that. It's just like the scene where that's the scene. That's the end credit. The one is going to be burned into my eyes is Batman with a gun. Batman, whose parents died from being shot, who doesn't use the whole point of Batman, he doesn't use guns. Batman would be completely different if he had a gun. Like,
doesn't use guns, doesn't kill, it's Batman.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, is this a... unless
it's
a gun...
his original presentation when he did, in fact, have guns.
Yo, unless it's a gun in which shoots kryptonite bullets, which would make sense if
he's done
trying to kill Doomsday, okay. But I don't want my Batman having an assault rifle.
Well, I didn't want my Batman to be Ben Affleck, but I guess we got that. So now we got to figure out if it's going to work.
You got your Affleck in my Batman. You got your Batman in my Affleck.
Exactly.
Affleck.
So I don't want my Superman to snap people's necks either.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, that's how it goes down when you want to make everything dark.
Mm. Yo, we didn't
Christopher Nolan.
We didn't even touch, like...
he would have done a better job with this, though.
Yeah, I like those films.
Yo, we didn't even touch the Lex Luthor portrayal by Jesse Eisenberg.
I like his waves. Not really.
It's pretty comic. I mean, it's like, it's very light, surprisingly. It's silly.
It seems like what they're giving us is that, I mean, perhaps
once it's writing off of Heath Ledger a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, maybe. I feel like he's trying a little too hard to be Heath Ledger Joker.
But his own encouragement, like taking notes from that, I need to be this eccentric.
I need to be super eccentric. And then maybe when the film barrels to the end, he'll get dark and lose his hair. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
I mean, I know my main introduction to Lex has always been through Batman the Animated Series, and this seems like a completely different take on the character. Like, the Lex that I know is always very composed, and though he does have his moments, it seems that he's always, you know, but he seems always to kind of have control of a situation. He's not goofy, you know, and I got kind of and I mean, for lack of a better word, a goofy feel from Jesse Eisenberg's portrayal.
You know, like a college graduate student or something. Like,
well, he's supposed to be Lex Luthor's son in this.
What?
Really?
That's interesting.
That's what someone told me that they wrote him. And this is his son.
But it's billed as Lex. So is he junior?
Maybe, but that's why he's noticeably younger than Batman.
Oh,
and
I
Superman.
Thought it was just their take. Well, I mean. Artistic liberties.
That's what I thought too. That they were just making him, you know, younger.
I mean, I've seen a couple people comment on it. They're all like, "This is supposed to be Lex's son." So
you would think we would know. going into a comics podcast.
I mean, it's kind of like Ninja Turtles. How Homie was supposed to be the Shredder, and they were like, "He's definitely not Japanese." And they were like, "You know what? He's not." And they wrote him out of being Shredder.
Yeah,
so that's why there's a mysterious non-face-seeing Asian man that's Shredder in that movie.
Yeah,
okay.
Supposed to be the white dude in the suit. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fine.
That movie's not as bad as you think it is, by the way.
I don't know about that.
Which one are you talking about?
The newer Ninja Turtles.
Okay, I haven't
seen
that.
Their eyes scare me.
They did an excellent job with the actual turtles. There's just too much Megan Fox in the movie.
They did an excellent job with the actual turtles. The rest of the movie was a hot flaming asteroid of dog trash. Yeah, it was terrible.
Seeing Splinter kick a lot of people's asses.
That was awesome.
Pretty dope. Like, you know, Splinter's badass in this movie.
The way the turtles look, they all look distinctive. That was interesting. You know, I feel like they wrote the story, you know, in a couple of hours while they were high on shrooms and vodka. And then the studio was like, yes. You know, that's what I feel like. I feel like Emperor Palpatine said that was a good idea. Hey, we made a lot of money on Transformers. Let's do this.
Yo. Yeah. But terrified for this movie.
I'm not terrified for this movie. I'm just, again, I honestly
I just feel a little empty. That's all.
Everyone has been like super ultra geeked and they're like, yo, this is going to kill everything. And I'm like, I don't think it's going to kill everything. I think they're going to make a ton of money. I don't think they're going to make a real positive imprint on the cultural landscape because they're trying to do too much.
Yeah,
they're trying to play catch up, and they're not going to do it, bro.
Yo, for as souped and excited I was for that Captain America trailer and how excited I am for that movie now, that's how terrified I am for DC.
Which is funny because this trailer, like, totally eclipsed view. I mean, like, it got a lot more views than Captain America trailer.
Except, you know, that Captain America Civil War trailer looks fucking crazy.
Yeah, it does, which is
it's because Superman, Batman. Like, you accidentally Google Superman, Batman. Not as many people are accidentally Googling Captain America.
You know what?
And if they
don't have to accidentally Google.
But you feel like Civil War should come up either way.
We already got a whole lead-in.
But even so, if it was like Avengers 3, I think the views would be a little different.
I see.
Fair enough.
Yet and still, Marvel Studios has done an amazing job of planting the seeds. In the films, if you just finished watching Jessica Jones, everything that happened in the last Avengers movie, the remnants of what happened in the last Avengers movie are in that show.
By the way, I don't have any hope that Jessica Jones is going to get integrated into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Well, no. But, I mean, Jessica Jones is going to be a part of the Defenders.
Yeah.
It's the Marvel TV universe.
But when they all come in, because I feel like at some point there's going to be a Defenders.
That's what it's all leading to, is the Defenders show.
But I feel like they're definitely keeping their TV and their movies separate.
Well,
they're Netflix
do that.
Stuff. Yeah,
But the beautiful thing about it is it's all one universe and everything is connected.
I know, but I just think it's a little more separate than we think it is. Is all I'm saying.
I mean, I feel like they definitely. I do think that was purposeful.
I mean, same.
You know what, though?
I'm super curious about the integration
during
of the team,
Infinity
though, so.
War, I guarantee there will be at least cameos for everybody.
I think that would be amazing because Infinity War definitely has all those characters in it.
You know what?
But they're still, like, Jessica Jones, they're still referring to, like, the Hulk as the big green guy.
Yeah.
Like, they're not even using names.
Because I don't think they're being super blatant yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not about blatant. I think it's just about keeping things separate enough, but like, oh, you have to nod too, but
yeah, they do that in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too, though. They're
true.
Like, oh yeah, you know,
very
hammer
true
guy, you know what I mean, like,
but also it can be a timeline waiver thing. Yeah. You know what I mean, because we don't know exactly in the Avengers timeline when Jessica Jones is taking place, because they're talking about all these things happening in the city and people are reacting to it, so really this could be right after the
Avengers.
First Avengers.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, so he could just be the green guy because they don't know really who
and
he
is.
And
that is true. Daredevil is squarely set after the first movie but not the second one. They make no mention to it, so it's all about filming.
But then Jessica Jones has to come after Daredevil because our nurse has already helped.
She's already helped
him.
It does.
It comes right behind that.
Yeah.
But I think what we also have to realize is they've done a good job reality-wise of saying, okay, the Avengers are huge. Mm. They're a big thing.
They're part of the culture, and they're in the backdrop.
What I mean is in terms of the creation of the story, the Avengers are like bigger than life, right? Mm.
Yeah.
Within the world that they've created. So Daredevil, Jessica Jones, these guys are on the street. So they're still everyday people that just, they know that there was an alien attack, but they don't know what really happened.
Mm-hmm.
We know some aliens attacked, and these dudes came out and saved the city. But you know what? They messed up a bunch of buildings, and now my rent went up. Like, there's all the stuff that everyday people would have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the street-level heroes are dealing with. So in this new season of Daredevil, you know, we know we're going to get, you know, Punisher. That's strictly street-level stuff. Like, I think that what was good about those characters, even in comics now, you know, Spider-Man's a street-level hero. You know, I mean, he's been involved in cosmic stuff, clearly, when they're like, let's take all our marquee characters and put them in this big situation. But on an everyday level, Spider-Man stops bank robbers and muggers and the occasional supervillain who's trying to kill him, right?
Mm.
You know?
True.
You know, the X-Men, the Avengers, you know, the Inhumans now, apparently.
The Fantastic,
you know,
Four.
Fantastic Four.
They're the ones that do, like, the really big
earth-shattering. They're dealing with the big
stuff. The world is about to get destroyed.
And Jessica Jones as a character, certainly she's been an Avenger. She's been a superhero more than once and gave that up to be a private eye and then got married to Luke Cage and had a baby.
And a mommy.
But she's still an Avenger. You know what I mean? She's still a badass Avenger. In fact, I think in the last couple of runs, she was involved in helping the team arrange all of the stuff that needed to happen because everybody was so concerned about not being murdered by whatever supervillain was fighting.
Oh, by the way, did anyone have thoughts on the ending of Jessica Jones?
Oh, God, can we not?
We still have one person at the table who apparently has not succeeded
all
in finishing
the show.
Is that Kilgrave is his comeback?
And was the very actual very end was a little underwhelming for me.
I thought you might say that.
Yeah. But on, so but on the flip side,
how else could they have? I mean,
there's no other way.
I'm not a writer. But.
There's no other way.
Well, I am a writer.
It's a little.
Here's what I felt: if they had gone the way that you, if they had gone the way that you thought it was going to go, with the thing not happening, you could have been like, "Oh, that's setting it up for a second season." That's true. Yeah. But like, how long can this guy continue to do stuff before somebody handles the situation?
No, it's not even that. It's not even like
you mean the way it went down in particular.
Yeah, the actual way.
It was just too easy that one moment.
Yeah, it was so weird.
Some people said it was easy, but then on the same token, like the thing that
it's about overcoming. I mean, it's about becoming powerful over these things that have happened to you. So I get it.
I thought it was
metaphorically, it makes sense. Yeah,
it was
exactly.
Like, yo, all he wanted was the thing that he wanted. So she just happened to use the thing that he wanted to manipulate the scenario.
And it was her overcoming. It's
I really appreciate it.
It was sort of like it's sort of like Babadook in the way that like
Babadook.
For the story, it makes sense for it to end that way. It's the only thing that metaphorically makes sense for the story. Like it doesn't feel because it's just the way it goes on is just so low caliber. It doesn't feel like the ending, even though it is.
Yeah,
that's all.
But in a way, that's kind of poetic because like he did so much stuff. He did so much stuff.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, but again, again, the Purple Man is really a daredevil villain. So, but his scenarios that he had with Jessica Jones, which are actually the ones that they have in the show, were so terrible. What he did to her was so terrible. The thing that sets her off in the show didn't actually happen in the comics, but she did do a bunch of stuff under his power, as have a lot of other people.
You mean that one event? No, but I mean the stuff that happened previously did.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm talking about the thing that ties her in with Luke Cage. That actually didn't happen.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, I see. Yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
I'm on like episode 9 or 10.
Oh, all right. But no, Yeah, that didn't happen. I mean, in the comic book, it was just
But I
like
thought it was awesome that that's how they weaved Luke into the show. Yeah. I thought that was amazing.
Side note, that scene with him and her when he found out that she was the one that did that thing was very intense.
That was very powerful.
I thought that was very well done.
Yeah, it was excellent.
Oh, my goodness. And then that whole thing that happened after, like the whole church thing. You saw the church thing and all that? Okay, good. We're not saying too much.
Okay.
The church?
Was it not in a church?
Oh, at the club.
The club.
The club. Very different thing.
No. That's a twist. She's not there yet.
Yeah. That's why I wanted to keep it.
Well, it is New York City, so that building was in fact the church that got turned into a club. Yeah.
That was just...
That was ironic.
Yo.
That was pretty crazy. Harsh. That was so hard to watch.
How about this? Stand at the gate for forever.
Yo, that was so ill.
Yo.
And then like not even mentioning it, just that quick shot where they walk by him again.
Yo, but the way that was shot, I have appreciated that. It reminded me of
a little issue with that.
I mean, the whole thing is reminiscent of like there's so much blocking and dark space in that show in general.
It reminds me of how they shot Blade, the original Blade.
Mm.
Like so that
when did we get this new Blade?
That scene where they saw him again and he was there and he was crying and sweating.
Yeah.
He was literally crying because he couldn't move.
Yeah.
The way the camera and how it was so quick, the camera just was like, oh, there's dude. And it was like they were walking and I was like, oh, that's so beautiful, dude.
Yeah.
Because he's just going to be there. Well, I mean, now he can leave.
Yeah.
Essentially, he can leave.
Now he can
leave. Yeah.
You know, it's funny, as a quick aside, and then we can go on to other things, but I keep thinking about the show Code Geass while watching this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys ever watched Code Geass, but
was
the main character...
Lelouch,
yeah.
That 3D?
No. But the main character has this power, his Geass, where he can tell someone one thing. He has one command that he can tell people, and then they have to do that one thing forever and ever until his command is over. But he can only use it once on... per person. So I could tell you, Kyle, you know, always brush your teeth at 7 p.m. and you just have to do that forever.
He used it accidentally, didn't he?
Yeah.
And that was tragic.
Yeah. Yes. It was very tragic. And it's interesting watching how the whole mind control thing is played out in different scenarios because some things go really, really horribly wrong for Lelouch. You know, and it made me think of that when you're talking about the guy standing at the gate forever because he had a guy that was supposed to go and mark a certain point of the wall every day at 12 p.m. when he was testing his power and then like three quarters of the way through the series, you see the guy still marking the wall at 12 p.m. So it's always interesting, these like mind control power.
I thought even though we hate the Purple Man, it was fascinating that you...
That
he got to the point where he was like, yo, you know, I had to learn how to be very specific when he was describing to her about how to use his power.
I told the guy to go screw himself.
Can you imagine? Is that what he says?
Yeah.
Exactly
like
that. First, have we had this discussion about like Purple Man? And I was like, all the people under his control, not all of them, but a lot of them don't are feel stupid.
Anything. It's like they set it up like almost, oh yeah, like sympathy, and then they yank it away, like being like, no, don't feel sympathy for this guy. He's playing you,
but no, which I really appreciated. Not that. I'm talking about.
No, but it just made me think of it. That's
it's
all.
Just like, yo, go screw yourself. Why does the dude just go masturbate and then go home? Like, isn't that, I'm sorry, that's where my mind goes, or like, go out, leave out through the window,
like,
okay?
I mean, a lot of things are like,
down and go through the window.
Like,
but they were like up 10 floors. There was only one way down, and there was for him
he
to
didn't
jump.
Say go down, he said
it seems like there's a dark implication to the commands, because even Jessica Jones, when she was told to take care of someone, interpreted it as kill. Like, there's...
But, and then he's like, no, I told you to take care of
which
that person.
Which is such a shitty thing to say. Asshole, yeah.
That's why.
No, no, and I know. And the thing
but
is,
would
there's
that
a
mean?
Lot
go
of...
Go over and give her a hug and feed her some soup?
You don't
that's
know.
What I
that's,
would do.
Exactly. See, so this is so
no,
the thing,
exactly,
right? So, like,
yeah,
but we also don't know what else he's had her do.
No, I mean, it takes a third party to come in and be like, no, here, just put the bullet in your mouth for a second. It's in your head. Like,
but I mean, that right there was because she experienced that trauma.
I know, she could get past it.
Just put it in your mouth. Okay, you did it now.
Because she was strong enough to get past it. I mean, but it seems like there's a pessimistic sway to his commands, no matter what.
But not, even that though. It also seems like there is a lot of inference happening. Mm. So if he were to say something to someone that either had enough willpower or was significantly intelligent or imaginative enough, or just dumb.
Probably mostly willpower,
you
though.
Know?
Yeah. For instance, he tried to tell Daredevil to kill himself, and he was about to do it, and then he just broke his jaw. Because it's all will. You know what I mean? Like, he was about to do something.
It's will
terrible.
And exposure. Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
But I just feel like there's like
it didn't work on Wolverine.
If you have like lateral thinking, you know. But then again, Wolverine also has a healing factor, and Killgrave's like powers demons. Through a virus, so Wolverine wouldn't be affected.
Well, in the show, it's through a virus.
No, I think that's how it is in a.
Yeah. I thought it was like pheromones or something.
Yeah, in the show, in the comic book, it's like pheromones. I mean,
all right.
Yeah. And he's, and because of it, that's why he turned purple. He's actually purple, which is.
I mean, he's a mutant in the comics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are no mutants.
Oh yeah, everyone's
not a thing.
Yeah, specials.
They're specials.
Don't give me stuff.
How about,
which is also a book series?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How about that episode where the lady and her husband were trying to kill Jessica though, and we thought it was like a whole thing, and then we found out that they were like, yo,
yeah,
yo, my mother died. She was like, what? Really?
Yeah, that was great. Yeah,
that was good.
This was a case. You're trying to kill me, bitch. Yeah.
Screwed up that
room. I was like,
serve
this chick. She tried to set you up to get blacked out.
Word. He's like, I want a divorce. Yes.
Yeah, he was like, oh, man. Should we talk along with this shit? But we almost got killed.
Should we hop along to Game of Thrones, which will be starting up soon and has a teaser trailer out?
So, Game of Thrones teaser trailer. Was actually just a guy talking and a bunch of stuff that we've already seen.
It was a teaser trailer.
Mm-hmm, and at the end it says no one knows what's coming. You're right. We don't know what's going to happen.
April 2016.
Yeah. We're all Jon Snow.
But HBO was awesome, and I'm sure that by February we'll have another trailer because HBO's really good about that.
Oh. I mean, now they're off the rails, man. There's no more books.
Yeah.
Good
no
luck.
No more
yeah.
books.
Scramble,
so,
scramble.
Okay, I have a question.
Although they have been given some bones.
So clearly, okay, I mean, I'm not giving anything away here. If you've seen the teaser trailer or literally any of the promotional materials for the new season, you know that Jon Snow is alive.
Wait,
we
what?
We theorized that he's alive.
What do you mean? They don't show that in the...
Yeah, but they're not going to put him on the poster if he's not in the season.
It's pretty... I mean...
And he's on set and...
Yeah, you know, it's all flashbacks.
It's pretty... I would love that because he's not a good actor, but... Yo. I mean, that's so mean of me. I'm glad you have a
Why?
Job, sir.
Why? Kit Harington...
He seems like a sweet guy.
He does, doesn't he?
That was rude of
didn't
me.
Didn't he
I'm
like
so
star in a movie recently?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Pompeii? Tennis one, right?
Or well, he was in Pompeii, but there was another
Pompeii
movie
Pompeii was
hot
flaming trash, though. But,
I was thinking about that tennis movie.
Is that
oh, yo, I need to see that. The Andy Samberg.
Yeah.
I heard it.
But he's also in some new like sport movie where he's a spy. It's like MI6 or something. Okay. Some spy dude. in my five.
All right, but
it makes sense his career has taken off.
Yeah.
No, but like there's no way he was going to be dead. He, like, they give away the stars that actually, it's, yeah. After you get past the beginning, it seems pretty clear who's capable of making it and who's not. He's, like, at this point, the same way, like, Sansa, when she jumped off a cliff, they kept talking about how much snow there was for ages. Yeah, and someone mentioned a bit as surviving a snowfall. You know she's going to make that fall pretty confidently. Same with Jon Snow. Melisandre, who brings back the dead, just happens to be around where he is when he dies. And they make a point of stating that.
Yeah.
Right before he dies. He's going to be okay. Yeah, kid's going to make
it. He's not going to die.
So.
Plus, I mean, there's all the prophecy shit that's probably, you know.
When the inevitable episode comes, whether it's the first episode or the second episode or whatever, where he's alive, the show will be spoiling the book.
Yes.
And my question is, okay, I mean, I think the community of book readers, at least the people, you know, whose bullshit I read on the internet, also was fairly confident that Jon Snow is not dead.
Yes.
And I don't want to spoil things from the book for people, but, you know, there are good reasons to think that he just can't die and that the books make no – that there are, you know, parts of the books
that make – Would that be the dragon theory and all that stuff?
Yeah, that make no sense.
I still don't know. I have not paid attention to this whole prophecy. I've read
the books. I think that's – like, it's coming clear to –
some weird prophecy and I'm like, I don't know. I don't know who his mom is.
But even without the prophecy, it makes sense if you watch the TV show to think of it. Like, his dad is not the sort of person who would cheat. His dad is not the sort of person who would cheat.
His
parentage – and won't bring up the mother at all.
Is like, an important subtext. So yes. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we?
Anyway.
Are we going in on that?
Sorry.
My point is, even though people in the books probably know, who are reading the books, probably know that he's alive, the show is going to be spoiling the books. Mm-hmm. And my question is, do you guys think that George R. R. Martin will have him be dead now? Just out of spite.
Whoa.
I would love that.
Well, there
because the show is spoiling the books.
Well, George R. Martin.
Is he going to change the
fault.
Book?
Really, it's not their fault that the show is spoiling the books.
I'm not saying he's
had how many years? They had started
I don't
the
know
series
if he does
before.
Have spite.
I mean,
he shouldn't.
I feel like he's
it is his fault.
He got paid. He's like, yo.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
He's had
right?
6 years. It's fine.
He's editing short story collection.
Why did HBO not realize that? The fans realized he wouldn't have another book out when the season came, but HBO was like, we've got 6 years. It's fine.
No, I don't think they cared, right? I mean,
I think they cared a little.
Yeah,
I think
they started to care like after season two.
They cared
a little.
But
which is why
they
got bare bones from him to build
it. Yeah, they knew they would be able to go on if he either didn't finish the books or, God forbid, you know.
Yeah, I mean, they
bought the farm.
They built up. Yeah, exactly. Because he's an older gentleman.
Who's not in the best of health.
Do you feel like people who just keep sending him like P90X tapes? Like, come on, man. We need to be here.
Do some jogging, George.
I heard that he, like, even though he hasn't actually completed the book, like, I heard he had, like, he gave them, like, a shit ton of notes.
That's exactly what
I mean about the bones.
Yeah.
He gave them where the story was supposed
to
go.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, like, a lot of that book is done. I mean, there was a point maybe 6 months ago where it was possible that he was going to finish the book before the season started. Maybe not likely, but it was possible. Now it's not possible because even if he submits a manuscript tomorrow, you know, the amount of time that it takes to edit and publish a book, there's not enough time for it to come out. So it's out of the question now, I think. But
unless he pulls a Beyonce and drops it in March with nobody expecting it.
Yeah, but he can't. I mean, people, if he had sent his publisher a manuscript, people would know.
Yeah, totally.
People would know.
Especially
he hasn't done that.
He hasn't done it. I think he's like playing Atari 2600 or something. He's chilling, bro.
He could just be watching the Throne again, like walking around with it at all times and like making, like sitting them down, like read it now and then taking it away.
Yeah, I mean, there are reasons that it takes him forever to write these books.
Yeah, I mean, they're dense as well.
It's a complicated undertaking.
He was faster about it back in the day.
He's admitted in public that at this point, he relies on the fan community to remind him what the fuck is going on. He's got people where he's like, "Hey, can you remind me whose, you know, grandmother was blah or whatever?" You know,
yeah,
like,
because you know, because I'm old.
And I mean, also the amount
of
pressure.
Just that, there's so much. Yeah.
On
him, that's what I mean. Like,
to get it right at this point is a lot higher than it was when he was writing book two.
Yeah.
And the story was still taking shape, right? Like now he has a responsibility to come up with an ending for all of this stuff.
It's like a gigantic mythology.
Yeah.
You know, they said that happened with, you know, the creator of Star Trek towards the end too. They're like, you made this universe, and like, so someone's coming up to you and arguing with you about some minute thing with this ship isn't supposed to have this type of power in it. And he's like, dude, what the hell's wrong with you, man? You know what I mean? Like, I spent all this time making all this stuff. It's grown out into this gigantic thing. So you're coming up to me asking me about some minute detail?
That's like, why you keep a Bible, a show Bible.
Yeah.
Of all your minute details.
Yeah. I mean, he's community did it.
Like, I mean, he's got one. For them.
To be fair,
called...
our community is, doesn't exactly have the girth of Star Trek, but...
George R. R. Martin has a show Bible, and it's called A Wiki of Ice and Fire. It's being maintained for him for free by some people who, you know,
who
have a lot of time.
Have
on
a lot of time on
their
hands.
That's where I want to be in life, where there's like a wiki of my work, and people know my work better than I do. That's like
you just have to make it to Tumblr.
Yeah.
Oh.
Then you can just play PlayStation. You know what I'm saying?
Well, speaking of which, catch us on Tumblr.
Yes, Tumblr. I think that's about all we got, because we could talk about a few more things and drag it out, but I feel
we
like...
We could get into Game of Thrones and how Caitlin was saying inflammatory things earlier.
Oh. You want to go there? I was complimenting... I was saying that I thought all the Lannisters were portrayed by excellent actors who were really carrying their weight.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Perhaps even more than their weight. I mean, not that there are people who are very slacking, but I'm just saying they're... For moments
was
it, when
was that a little person joke?
That's unfair.
I don't think it wasn't,
but that's hilarious.
I know it wasn't, but I couldn't resist pointing that out. Peter Dinklage is carrying many times his weight on that show.
Without question.
But I just mentioned that I actually had pity for Cersei, and I think a lot of that is due. I mean. Due to the actress. But also, I think that, it would suck to be, even when they talked about, in season one, when she was, like, giving Sansa, Cersei's an awful person, but she also, and it doesn't excuse that she's awful, but she hasn't had a fun life. Probably, like, I feel for both her and her, I don't feel very much for Jaime. Jaime is, he's the luckiest of the bunch.
Jaime is actually turning his life around, though.
But then he raped his sister, so whatever.
He didn't, what do you mean raped his sister? That was consensual sex.
She was saying that.
No. Yeah,
it's funny because I heard in the book.
In the thing.
In the show.
I heard in the book it's a lot more obvious that it's consensual, but in the show it was very squicky. Yeah.
That's true.
Oh, okay. That was.
And the creepy thing is that afterwards when fans were like, whoa, why'd you change this into a rape scene? The director was like, it's not a rape scene. Like, it did not occur to him as a director that one of the characters saying no.
Yeah, I think it was clear that they had not thought carefully about what they were doing.
It was just uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, regardless.
You're talking about Cersei, right?
Yeah.
Because it made it seem
when Jaime came back.
Yeah, Jaime had made a lot of character progress, and then that...
And then she was saying all that stuff to him or whatever.
That moment made it seem like the progress went back and he was a jerk again. And then I was waiting, there's got to be a reason for it. There's got to be a reason this needed to happen.
Yeah.
And it didn't pay off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it just seemed like out of nowhere, this bad thing that happened.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying about that. So that's another reason.
This is what I'll say.
I mean, that was hella whack, but I feel like that Cersei should be annihilated.
Yeah, I saw it. Oh, no, I think she's awful, and I think she's definitely going to die a horrible death.
That would be fantastic.
But I still think, like...
No, it's the Game of Thrones. No, she's going to get away scot-free.
No, she's definitely not. Did you hear the prophecy? All her kids are going to die, which is so fucking sad. Oh, I mean, gosh, even if you're a horrible...
All her kids suck!
She loves them, though. That's the one good thing about her is that she...
Tom's a dumbass.
Marcella is also a good kid.
Marcella already caught it.
She had one scumbag child who already died.
Exactly.
And he deserved it.
The one good thing about Cersei is her love for her children. That was like a pure, true, big thing. That's it.
Because the rest of it is pure trash.
And for that to get... I mean, it just... Her, you know, that's just a sad thing.
She did have to do that walk of shame, though, I was like, dang.
And that was bad, too. And then when she gave that speech to Sansa,
No, she deserved it, but I was like, damn, that was heavy. Rough.
I mean, you don't see, like, what other characters have you had to see go through, like, shamings like that? I mean, Jaime got pissed on, which sucks, but it was a small audience, so.
Still got pissed on, though.
Technically, her body double just got shamed. So, I mean,
yeah, but she got like shit. Like, I mean, she got like shit thrown.
She got
on her
literally
like
shit.
Literal shit.
The whole Reek certainly got played
hold
up, though. He
hold up.
Oh my god, Reek, that was fucked up.
Can we not call him by his real name?
Oh my god, Theon. But yeah,
his name's Theon. But he said his name's Reek, And he's saying, I'm Reek. Yo. So right now, you're Reek, bro.
Why did we get so much of his torture storyline? That was heartbreaking.
Oh, my
God.
Yo.
I was like, for what it's worth, the Reek storyline in the books is 50 times more fucked up.
It is.
That was another really fucked up situation.
The torture stuff is actually not in the book, but the stuff that is in the book is really twisted.
This dude is hella sick, man.
That's the most upsetting thing so far for me in the series.
Okay, so...
Theon was a punk, but wow. No.
This is why I have not one iota of sympathy for Cersei, because she is the worst human being ever created in this book series.
No, she's not the worst. Jaime is just as bad as her, even if he's on a redemption. He was just as bad as her. He gets a redemption arc, though.
But you know what, though? How about this?
The Boltons.
How about this?
Yeah, the Boltons are much worse than her. She is bad.
They aren't.
She is trying to get power in a world where she is not allowed to have any.
Hold on.
She is a scumbag.
Okay. Listen to me. So you want me to feel bad for her because her dad was mean. And because
she was told she wasn't allowed to be anything. She wasn't taught like her brothers were. She was given nothing. She was like, okay, now this is who you have to marry. Your job is making kids.
She's dumb. Listen,
she's not actually dumb.
She's actually pretty fucking smart, bro.
Exactly. She's smart. Her dad tells her she's dumb, but she's not.
All of her plans have backfired, and she's always done things for the wrong reason.
Exactly, because she's working alone. She has no one.
It's the wine talking, man. It's the Dornish Red.
She's got no education in it. She's going from scratch alone.
What do you mean? Wait.
She was not taught these things.
She had the same education as Tyrion.
They actually said she didn't.
There was read more. She can read.
They literally said she didn't have the same education as either of her brothers. They said that in the show.
When did they say that?
In the show. It is stated.
Oh my God. Yo.
She did mistreat her brother, though. I didn't appreciate that.
That is fucked up.
You're a piece of shit.
She was horrible to your brother. Tyrion is the best of them by far.
But she's always undermining issues, and her plans are never going the way it's supposed to go.
But she's not stupid. She just can't get things to go.
But I'm like, yo, if you want to be evil and you want to be conniving, then all right, do that. Do it well, though. Like, plan something out. Do something because of a good idea.
I don't think she wants to be evil. I think she just wants to survive. She wants power. Her role model is her father. She's doing what she...
So is Skeletor dumb? Because his plans failed.
Yeah.
Yes!
She's not a good person, and she's not a master strategist, but she's not an idiot.
Well, like, you could even...
She's been told she's an idiot for a long time, but she isn't.
How would you do it?
Because you're a black man and you wouldn't be alive in that circumstance at
all. But no.
Those aren't facts.
How many black people are fighting for power in that universe? That's true.
I'd be in
They all with Daenerys Targaryen.
You know, I'd be in door.
They're all unsullied.
They're all lifting her on their, like, shoulders.
Exactly.
That's another thing we can talk about.
That's a whole nother conversation.
They've all been sterilized because they're all unsullied.
Once again, black people in the future... Black people in the past, black people
they ride with Khal Drogo.
I mean, in Dorne, though. That's where all the nice brown people are. It's safe there.
Apparently.
It's warm. That's where I would be.
But, like, yo, if you're Cersei, right, like, why aren't your plans...
She's operating alone without minions she can trust.
Exactly. No one trusts her. No one has her back. She's doing it when things are already crumbling.
And she's already a scumbag, so everyone hates her.
She didn't get a leg up.
Why does Tyrion do it better? Why does Tyrion do it better? Tyrion's also not having things work out for him.
I'm sorry.
But at the same time...
Okay, we like him and support him, but he's not in a position of power. I'm sorry.
Not right now, but when he was running the kingdom...
Because he had a job.
He won the battle at Blackwater.
The thing about Tyrion is that he's a much better strategist than she is.
True, he is. It doesn't make her...
And she wants to be evil.
Okay,
I don't think she wants to be evil.
Why does she have an evil...
I think she just is a bad person.
She's just
a bad person.
Yeah. I think she just wants to have power. I don't think she wants to be evil.
She's a piece of trash, and she wants power.
When Sean Bean was right there, right? Sean Bean was like, yo... I don't want to do this. Wasn't she part of the impetus to make him, like, still be Han anyway?
No. She was one of the people who was like, yeah, don't kill him, and her son did it anyway.
Because her son was a maniac.
Exactly. Mm. She didn't have power. She's never had it. She's always tried to have it. She can't have it. She will never have it. She won't. She will die.
Her son's the king.
She will die after all her kids are dead, and it will be
She
very...
has some power in being able to control certain individuals, but that doesn't always work out.
because other people get in the way.
Yeah.
I mean, let's.
But she, had, wait. She had.
But wait. Wait for a second.
She had the royal guard.
But wait, bro. Wait.
Did she?
Not really. Just wait for a second. Okay, so this takes place in a medieval style world, right?
She has no respect, and that's super important.
In the book, she basically controls all of the royal guard.
In the show,
it's
she has...
It's so same thing.
In the show, there's a superficial control, but not an actual one. When she actually... Look, you can...
Whoever is sitting on the throne is in control, ultimately. If somebody other than her son was the king... She would be in a much shittier position.
Even Marjorie Tyrell does a better job of going around and sneaking and conniving plots than she does.
She has backing, though.
And she has youth.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, technically, she got to the position that...
I mean, that's facts.
She was in Marjorie's position. Marjorie didn't get further than she did. She was married to the king.
Yeah, she was. And then the king died.
So now she's scrambling.
She had the king's kids, so...
I refuse to have sympathy for this character.
You don't have to have sympathy, she's not an idiot.
I don't like her, and I want her to die, but I don't think she's dumb.
I don't think she deserves respect, but I think she gets seen in a... I don't think that she's considered the way she should be, that's
no,
all.
No, she's still alive when tons of people who are way more awesome than her are out.
Yeah. Oh, I love Brienne. I'm excited to see what happens with her.
She's a schemer, but she's not good with strategy.
But like, yo, she doesn't see the worth in certain characters that she should easily see.
Oh.
Like she doesn't play her hand the way it should be played, as well as it could be played. Like
she doesn't have as much of a hand as you think.
She could be making better decisions.
Bro, she's a selfish ball player. That's it.
She's trying and failing, but it's not like she has a... Her arsenal is more limited than
I feel like you're making a lot of excuses for her. She had opportunities.
I'm not making excuses.
She can, yo.
She's not dumb.
I'm critical of her. I don't think she's a genius. I just don't think she's an idiot.
If she can read, she can be better at this.
That being said, now, ladies and gentlemen, I think we've...
She had access to weapons just like Brandon Stark did.
Let's let this continue.
She can learn to fight.
This episode of American Gladiators is ending now. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've talked about everything from stuff to more stuff to a yelling match about how a character that we all don't like is either dumb or not dumb, a schemer or not a schemer, a piece of trash or not a piece of trash. We'll save that debate for another time. Maybe you can chime in on some of those nice social media networks.
Tommen dies in her arms.
You are a cruel... Tommen doesn't deserve that. I don't think anyone's child should die because a person is bad.
He doesn't. You're right. He doesn't deserve it. She does.
And guess what, though?
Shit thrown on her, deserved
it. He's going to die.
Guess what? I am K. Smalls the Animal.
I'm the K. Marco, New Jersey Jackanine.
I'm just Caitlin.
My name is Zayani.
Dr. Phil.
And this has been a super extra giant-sized edition of Nuff Said.
Nuff Said.
That's right.
What?
Oh, yeah.
How did you miss?
I wanted no more room for any more debating and dart throwing. We'll see you guys next time.
Well, you can catch us on Instagram at Nuff Said. You can catch us on Tumblr at This Is Nuff Said. You can catch us on Twitter at Cultured, @Cultured, because that's still up. And then you can catch us on .com, and it'll be up soon. And we're on iTunes. We're on iTunes. So go there. Go to the iTunes store. Go to podcast. Search Nuff Said. KNUFFSAID. Not Nuff Said with an N, because that's not us.
Yeah. Search Do Not Destroy.